I'd appreciate your prayers. I would like to think a little bit this morning about the value that we should place on the Word of God.
Yes.
And it is a good thing to read it, memorize it, have it there for access, but if that's all that it is, it doesn't really accomplish that much.
Right.
People can quote it, memorize it, quote it, and never get the value of it.
Right.
So I'm thinking about getting the value of the Word of God. I believe that it is of utmost importance to us.
Yes.
God, it yes. pleased God to put it in the volume of the book. It pleased God to the generations
yes.
to bring God's truth. And I want to state a little bit about it, because sometimes I think there can be some confusion about it. And I think it's worth cherishing. I don't think it should be. I think I would feel a little sacrilegious to throw this down on the floor and stomp on it.
Right.
Or to misuse it in that way, simply because of the value that I find in it.
Amen.
But the Word of God is not paper, and it's not ink. And unless God performs some special miracle on that, every page of it would burn. If I threw it in the fire, there's been many destroyed.
Right.
I've run a number of them myself in my lifetime. I've wore them out. I've ripped the pages. I had one Bible one time that I finally had to give it up. I really liked it, but I had to give it up when I turned over to 1 Peter, and the first pages of 1 Peter wasn't where 1 Peter was at. They'd come up some and was somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so it was a little confusing. I ended up retiring that one and got
yeah.
another one.
Yeah.
The Word of God is not that. Some people would say that, and we do appreciate the King James Version
yeah.
of the Bible, but there is some people that take that to the extreme to think that that is the Word of God. And if it is, it excludes all people except for English-speaking people, because 1611 King James is totally English. And you don't translate. Some people have even mentioned to me, said, well, did they translate that from King James? Well, no. That's not the way it works. The Word of God is God's eternal will.
Yes.
Given to us. When we understand, I say this for instance. The Bible says husbands ought to love their wives. That is God's word, no matter how you say it. No matter what language puts it in, or no matter what it is, when that idea comes to a husband that I ought to love my wife, that is God's will given to us. That is a remarkable thing that the Creator of the universe would allow us a part of His will. To let us understand the things of life. And I believe He did put it in the book for us. I believe that everything we need to know is put in here by the inspiration of His Spirit, which I think is important to the Word of God. Because I think that we're lacking as humans to really be able to understand it unless God gives it to us and gives the will to it. There was a man reading the scriptures one time. He was riding along, I believe in a chariot. He was a eunuch that was well up there, an Ethiopian. And Philip seen him reading. He was reading in Isaiah. And Philip saw him that, and he runs up to the chariot and he says to him, what are you reading? And he was reading, and he said something about his understanding. How can I understand it? Unless somebody help me to understand it, how can I understand it?
Yes.
You know, it's partly the function of the Holy Spirit
yes.
to enlighten our minds and open us up to be able to understand. But we will never understand if we don't want to understand.
Right.
We need to have the desire to want what the Word of God says to us,
yes.
Not in diminishing it. Lord, help us. Even if I don't want to do it, I should want it more than anything else. I will ought to say honestly before the Lord, Lord, that's a hard saying. I mean, some things are hard. Help me, Lord, to be able to take the Word of God because it's very valuable. And I think that we can get it sometimes, and if we was to hand out a test tonight, you know, 100 questions, Bible questions. You know, I mean, probably most people that's been involved around, but probably can answer the questions. Like, husbands, love your wives. I mean, some of those kind of things, we could answer that. But I'm going to tell you, if husbands don't love their wives, we forfeited the benefit of the Word of God.
Yes.
So, something comes to my mind. Several years ago, I loved the garden. And when I got this garden space, one of the things that I wanted, I up to that point I was a borrowing a tiller all the time, and I got up to this place, I had this garden area, and I felt like that I really needed a tiller, so I went and checked these tillers out, and I got the big one. It was a Cub Cadet, and it was a big one, and it was designed big enough to break up sod that hadn't been plowed up. I mean, you didn't have to have soft, this one would do it for you. So I got this big tiller, and I think I had it for one season, and then it something happened to it, and the wheels would turn, but the tines wouldn't turn. Now this thing has forward, reverse, then you can go forward with the tines going forward, but then you can go forward with the tines going backwards, and then you can go backwards with the tines going forward. And this is a good machine. I mean, it had the stuff, you know. I mean, it's big and it's good. And well, the tires would turn, but the tines wouldn't. Well, that's no good. It don't help the till if you do that. And so then I got this nice machine, but it doesn't work. And so, I'm a mechanic because I have to, but I not consider myself a mechanic. But I've got a job ahead of me because my tiller don't work. And so, there's so many bolts and things in them thing. You got to take it all apart. So I had to get it down to its just a case, just a transmission case and all. And within that, to get it to do everything, it was a lot of gears. And so I open that up and I find that there's a shaft that allowed the gears to go back and forth that run the tines. I noticed it was bent and I found out that that was bent. My son happened to be there. I mean, it's an amazing time we live in. I was in the yard, right in my yard doing this, and my son comes along, and I pull this out and said, there it is. That's what's wrong with it.
Yes.
And my son says, oh, what is that? And I said, it's this shaft here. Well, in a little bit, he says, you want me to order it? I mean, he's in the yard. And I said, you can order it? He said, yeah, he was on the internet. He got on the internet and said, yeah, I can order it. It's $9.90. And I said, order it. Order it. So with my mind, I mean, this is complex. If you could imagine gears that go to turn it backwards, run it, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't believe that my mind could ever comprehend that whole mechanism.
Right.
Because I kept confusing myself with which direction I was looking at it. And so I didn't fool with any of that, and I was very careful to just not try to move anything out of the way. And just so I had very little to put back. I got the shaft, put it back all together. It was a pretty tedious job. I got it all back together. I'm excited about it. And I started up, and the tines worked fine. But the wheels wouldn't go now. And I mean, it was those hours of putting this back together. And so I was so reluctant to open it back up. It was so many bolts. I mean, it was like 28 bolts around that. I mean, so much of that. But I determined, okay, I'm going to do this. But my mind can't do this, so I need something. So I mentioned my son that does all this stuff. And I said, can you get me a schematics of this? I mean, there's no way without instructions. There's no way I can do this. And so I gutted that whole thing, took everything out, washed all the grease off of everything till I could work with it good, and then said, give me the instructions on this. Every gear, every spacer, everything was pointed right there. Here it is that I can lay it out. Sizes, names, I mean, everything was right there for me to be. There's no way that I could have accomplished that without the instructions. And I was able to put everything back, and when I got through, I looked around and there was nothing left. I mean, all the spacers was in there, everything was in there. I went all over it, put it back together, greased it, and I've run it for years now. It's actually run better than it ever did before. So what I'm saying here is that without those instructions were so valuable to the completion of the job. We have instructions of the Word of God, but how much really, how much value do we put on that? How much does it say on there? The Bible really does teach us something for our own peace. And there's a scripture, Hebrews 2 and 1, that says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time they slip from us. In other words, once you hear it and get it, if you don't put application to it, it's really easy to be like that one that looks into the mirror and sees himself and goes away. We ought to be not only hearers of the Word, but doers of it, because once you put it in there, then it becomes a part of who you are. It becomes a part of your life. And if you don't place it in there, it's really easy after time for that to slip away and be gone. We are so enlightened in this time. We live in what's called the information age. We have all this information in this, and we can look at almost every faithful person's writing. We can see the songs. We can read the scriptures. We're not without the Word of God. We got Bible. We can do it. I have it on my phone. I use it a lot. I mean, it's really handy. I don't get a scripture faster when somebody says it on this than I could ever go through the pages. Everything is right there in hand. But if we don't give the more earnest heed to the things that we heard, then it doesn't apply. We don't have the application for it. And you know, the Bible teaches us for our own peace and for our victory that other people's actions, we ought to handle other people's actions a certain way. And it's not with revenge. Now, we all know the complexities of a marriage situation. But the Word of God would speak to this. But you'd have to really listen to it and have applications to it. Because most everybody that I've ever known, be honest with you, still plays the little head games. It really isn't a scriptural idea, you know. Honey, what's wrong? Nothing. Actually, there's something wrong. But, I mean, okay, there's nothing wrong that I won't talk about. There's nothing. I mean, these little things about that we do, that's, I mean, you know what I'm talking about without too much explanation. But you know, there's something valuable in the Word of God towards those things. Amen. Most of the time, in my experience with dealing with people and stuff, if I get serious to the Lord, one of the first things He's going to say is humble yourself. Just humble yourself. You know how valuable. I mean, it's said of Jesus, who was the Son of God. What did He do? He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He humbled. I mean, this is one of His most remarkable, if you want to say, His most obvious characteristics, that Jesus, in the position of authority, power, could speak like no man spoke, could have destroyed anybody in His language, could have done anything. He humbled Himself to that. He didn't use the power and authority that He had right there. You know how hard it is for us not to exert ourselves when we get a little bit. I laugh at this. I mean, it can be challenging, but I laugh because No matter who it is or where it is, if somebody gets, I said recently about, so I had a little incident, but anyway, I said about somebody, you give somebody a ladle in a serving line, and all of a sudden he thinks he's an authority. All of a sudden I had somebody actually delay me and say, sing for it? No, I'm not going to sing. You ain't getting it if you don't sing. I mean, give a guy a ladle and he's going to dominate you. I mean, people are that way. The Lord said, humble yourself. You may be in a position like that, but that's not what the Lord wants you to do with that. The Lord wants you to use that to bless people with and be in a place that God can use you in that. And so, Lord, help us today to take the more earnest heed. The Word of God is so valuable to us. Husbands, love your wives.
Amen.
Wives, what does it say? Obey. You have to put your definition to this. He didn't say it for nothing, though. Wives, obey your husbands. Whoa, wait a minute. That's kind of old-fashioned for this day and time. Well, I'm not responsible for that. But the Lord meant something that we're going to have to deal with. And there's a value in it. We can't say that there's not a value in it. There's some really hard language in the Scriptures about how we ought to perform. And it wasn't cruelty. This is our blessing. The Word of God is a powerful force. And it says things like, I didn't write this, so I'm not responsible for this. And it says, if somebody smite thee on the cheek, oh, this is getting close.
Yeah.
But you can say, well, it only applies to being slapped on the cheek. No. There's a whole idea of a principle here about how what we ought to have in our heart. Don't allow the devil to use somebody to make you ugly. Don't allow the devil to do something that's going to ruin you.
Yes.
Have the love of God in your heart.
Yes.
Get that in there and hold it. This is a precious thing. The Word of God is so valuable and so precious in this. It is and it's so easy for us to take the Word, hear the Word, say amen,
yes,
and never have the real application of that in our lives. We live in a very high pressure, tense society.
Yes, we do.
And a lot of it's here in Dallas is from that traffic out there. But no, I mean, people are tensed up out there and stuff, and you get road raged.
Yeah.
I mean, people are road raged. I mean, I've tried to tell my children every once in a while they'd see something that was funny to them, like somebody else over there. And the children would be there and like laughing, and I'd say, don't even look. You never know what's going to fire somebody up. I'm not responsible for that.
Right.
But I am responsible for me.
Yes.
In reality, is there anyone that ever drove that didn't make a mistake driving?
No.
Well, maybe. I don't know everybody, but not me. I would never have the right to do that to somebody. I've done so many silly things and missed roads and turned the wrong lanes. And I mean, I've done a lot of things like that. My mind more is, and I remember somebody that got completely off this woman. She was in this situation and she kind of cut us off. And I was sitting there and I remember thinking, the look on her face. I remember thinking, I'm going to tell her it's okay. And I did. Hey, it's okay. Because that's not what she was expecting.
Uh-huh.
Lord, help us.
Amen.
With the Word of God.
Amen.
That we are willing to take it and say, Lord, make me with this. Help me to get this. And not just to be able to quote it in a Sunday school verse.
Yeah.
But help this be what I live my life with.
Amen.
That this is in my heart.
Yeah.
The Lord really did teach us. You know that God, that Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners? He loved us while we were undone and sinners. And that's what He wants us to be too. He wants us to have that too. But if we just hear that and we don't and give it the more earnest heed, implied into our lives, it's not going to be a part of our lives. And so those that look on are not going to be able to really, really see Christianity of what it really is and supposed to be, because we don't demonstrate it in our lives. And so I just want to look at some scripture. I know it goes a lot more than this, but this is part of it that I want to kind of focus in on here this morning, a scripture in 1 Thessalonians. Okay, I think every one of us would accept this as from the Lord. 18th verse says of 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yeah.
All right. Now the Lord wants some victory.
Yeah.
The Lord wants some victory. He wants faith in our lives. He wants to be able to lead us and guide us in life. He wants the world to be able to see a people
Amen.
That don't do it like they do it.
Right.
And here's part of it.
Amen.
This is the Word of God now.
Yes.
In everything. Now, what does everything really include? What's everything?
Everything.
Is there anything accepted in this? No. In everything, give thanks.
Yes.
And it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yes.
And I think it's accurate to say that it's the will of God to give thanksgiving in everything.
Yes.
But maybe that ain't exactly what he means. You should thank the Lord in everything because it's the will of God what you're going through.
Yes.
That's what the will of God is, because this is the will. What you're thanking the Lord for is the will of God concerning you. Because as a promise from the Lord, He's not going to let you go through something that you're not supposed to go through. God's going to take care of the things in our lives. He's going to lead us, and the things that come into our lives is the will of God concerning you. Everything. Who I am, where I'm at, the age that I am, when I was born, what I am. All of that is the will of God concerning you. Thank God.
Yes.
Thank God for that in my life. This is a powerful victory point
Yes.
in the life of a Christian. Rather than the complaining, whining of the world, and all that that is the world belongs, that's not the way of God. The spirit of the world is not the spirit of the spirit of the world is not the spirit of God. It's totally opposite of that. Everything that's pushed and done by the world is opposite the way the Lord did. What the Lord said was in all things, accept God's will. Accept God's willingness and thank God for what He's allowing in our life. I didn't know how to put that transmission together. My mind can't do it. I don't believe I could ever understood that thing without the schematics of it. I got those and I was able to do that, and the Lord's done doing the same thing in our lives. He's allowing things in our lives that fit us like a glove. He's allowing this to work in my life. This is what I'm trying to make. I've got your life in my hands. And if we're not careful, instead of this is the Word of God, and I am not going to stand up here and act like that I've conquered this, because I really need the Lord to help me. But this is the Word of God that
Yes.
says in everything,
Yes.
give thanks.
Amen.
For this is the will of God to say, you mean this is a part of, thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
So Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know
Right.
that all things work together for good. Do we? Do we? Well, the Bible says that it does. He didn't say it was good. Don't even say that it's good. It doesn't mean that it's good. But He said, in everything give thanks, because I have made a way for you in this. I got something for you.
Yes.
This is the way you're going to get. I don't even understand that. I don't even know that. I can never understand it. I just know that the instruction book tells us
Right.
how to work with this situation.
Yes.
If you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, thank you for what you let me go through. Thank you for the mountain that I need to climb. Thank you. One of our songs said about the rain. The rain's necessary or the flowers wouldn't grow. I mean, it's dark and gloomy at the time, but it's going to produce something. Another scripture said how we ought to think about chastisement of the Lord. I mean, taking a whooping. You're taking a whooping. How's that going to be? You're going to have some peaceable fruits of righteousness involved in this. Paul said of his thorn in the flesh when he understood that this was the will of God concerning him, and that when he was weak, then was he strong in the Lord. He said, I rejoice in this affliction that I have. I rejoice in this because when I'm nothing and when I'm weak, then I become powerful. And God works in my life. There's a part of this, Lord, help us to fulfill what the Word of God is trying to tell us in this and have the heart and mind to be able to say, thank you, Lord, for your wisdom, for your understanding in my life. Help me to get through these kind of places in my life. And there was a kind of a famous scripture that I use quite a bit, but there was a time where David was there with these men, and I got a vision in my mind the way it was. It may have not been that way, but I think it was a descendant of Saul's had come, and he comes over there, and I mean, King David, I don't know what gave him the courage of the mind to do it, but he came over there and he was calling him a dirty dog, and he was calling him, I mean, he was really cursing David. He was cursing him. Well, I mean, David's there with the power and authority. He could take care of him. And he was a descendant, and I think his captain, man of David, said, you know, give me, I'll go take his head off. And David said, no, leave him alone. Perhaps God hath said, curse David. Maybe there's something that I don't understand about this. Some things are hard. Some things are hard to go through. Some things are emotional. Sometimes you feel like somebody's made you less than you should be. And somebody, you're not the worth of what you're supposed to be. And those kind of things happen. But David said when he was put down like that, he said, perhaps the Lord has said, curse David. Maybe I need to consider what the man's saying. Yeah, he's disrespectful. He's doing all this thing. But he might have an element of truth in there for me. And the Lord might be trying to get it to me. I might need to reconsider how I've treated them and what God wants me to do. Maybe I'm completely out of the way here. You know, how do you know if you don't have the instruction book? I don't know every gear in every place. I don't know what it's supposed to be at the end of this. But God knows. And sometimes, you know, God is interested enough in you to let you go through humiliation. Well, God never wants you to be humbled. Humiliated. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he was. They called Jesus Beelzebub. He had the authority. Jesus had the authority to stop that right there and prove who he was. And he loved him anyway. He dealt with them anyway. He went right on. And they, all that they'd done. And here was Jesus before the population now. He had said, I mean, Son of God. And he come to this place. And he allowed them to disrobe him. That's humiliating. That's disgusting. They're treating him poorly. He allowed them to put a crown on his head. He allowed them to spit in his face. He allowed them to stripe his back. He allowed them to draw nails in his hands. He allowed them. He didn't have to allow them. He was the authority and he allowed them. So, you know how he got there? Did he do all that? In the garden, he accepted God's will. Yes. This is my Father's will for me. Right. I want to be obedient to the Father. This is the Father's will to me. And he fulfilled God's will for his life right there. And what was said of it? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the suffering and the shame. And for that joy, what was the joy? Thousands of people that would turn to him and love him and do it. He did it for us. We're part of the joy. Yeah. that he done it for and the success that he had a place he had to go through with humans and people, that, I mean, beings that wasn't even a fraction of his worth, a fraction of his ability, that had nothing but sin and shame on them, and they were evil and wicked, and he died that he could change them. It says in everything, give thanks. We don't see the picture, folks. We don't see the picture, but sometimes we will pray. We're desperate to see our loved ones saved.
Yeah.
And then we so marvel when the Lord starts letting us go through something that He's designed to touch their hearts with.
Right.
Something He's designed to look and say, they've got something that I need.
Yeah.
They in the middle of their trials, they shine. In the middle of their trials, they don't hate when they're persecuted.
Right.
They love.
Amen.
But it's not easy. I think I've told it here before, but I had a man do that to me one time. I wouldn't want to go through it again. But I had a gun to my head with his knuckles white from gripping the trigger, teeth gritting. Ended up, he didn't pull the trigger. He ended up slamming the barrel into my head. And then he tried to beat me with his fist and tried to pull me out of the truck. And it was a humiliating, it was an awful thing. And God gave me such victory at the moment. But it wasn't all victory. Because the devil come in. The devil come in and human opinions started coming in, flowing in. People started telling me, well, you shouldn't have put up with that. Well, I'd never do it that way. I'm talking about Christian people. I wouldn't have done it. He'd have had it to do if I mean, all of this stuff come in, and the devil comes in. And do you know I had to pray to keep the feelings down? And I did. Then I had to again and again. It wasn't a one-time victory thing. I got to where I got the victory over the feelings and the things I had, because I had feelings that I wouldn't have cared a bit if I wouldn't have done it to him, but I wouldn't have cared if something did happen to him. I mean, I wouldn't have cared a bit not to be able to see that fella again. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I had these feelings. I know that's not right. The Word of God wasn't teaching that. The Word of God was teaching something more than that. There's something that we need in our lives. There's a place called heaven that God's fitting us for. And He has a certain kind of people He wants to take care of. And He's trying to make us that in this life. And He's got a good instruction book. But how many times do we know it? We know what it says. We've seen it. We heard it. We've seen it preached. But we go out the doors. And then our opinion changes and our mind changes. And we get all the other stuff out there and we incorporate it in. And then it fades away because we didn't give the more earnest heed to it. Oh, Lord, help us to put the Word in there. He said in everything, give thanks, because this, whatever it is the will of God concerning your life. To say anything else is to say that God is not who He said He was. Because God declared that He's God of the universe. He declared Himself to be ruler of our lives. He declared that He's all in all. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. He's everywhere. He does it all. And the things that come into our life as Christians are ordained. They are ordained. Today's activities is ordained to the Lord. The people that you run into today are ordained to the Lord. The people that love you are ordained. The people that hate you are ordained. They're ordained to the Lord in your life. You give thanks for those moments. Lord, help us to take the Word of God in everything. Give thanks, because this is something I want to give to you. We draw back.
Yeah.
Folks, don't be ashamed or let the devil get you because you're a human. Jesus said let this cup pass from me. We got the right to ask the Lord. I remember one time in particular, I told the Lord, it seemed like a trial fell out of the sky on me, and I was there and unprepared and unready, and I told the Lord, Lord, I am not ready for this. Well, that didn't help it. But it didn't help it not be there. But I mean, I was expressing myself to the Lord, what I'm saying. I'm not ready to face this problem. Well, the Lord could have removed the problem, but He didn't. He made me stay there until I was ready to face that thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you right here. I want you ready for it. Here it is. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to have to depend on it. I'm not ready for this. I don't want to go through this. But give thanks.
Yes.
Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Concerning you. This is a very, very, very necessary place in your life. I thank God for it, even though I draw back sometimes from those kind of things, as humans do. But I thank God at the end of them. I'm always thankful. I think the Lord wants us to be in a place to where we can say, thank the Lord, what it is that you've placed for me. Give me grace and strength. Give me the ability to fulfill what you have for me to do here at this time. Don't just take the Word of God. I'm using one scripture. I'm going to tell you the whole thing's like that. There is so much there that we can just let go over and not really put it into practice in our life, not really make it a part of who we are. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to be a part of who we are. He wants an honesty. The Scripture talks about swear to your own hurt and change not. He wants us to be that honest about things.
Yes.
I swear to my own hurt and I change not. I'm not going to go back up on that thing. Yeah, it might cost me money. It might do these things, but I'm going to stay there because I said I'd do it. Because it's important. The Word of God's important. God will make those things up to you. God can always make those things up to you. He's not slacking those kind of things. God can work in our lives. There's a scripture in Isaiah. I think I'm looking for Isaiah 49. It says that I will make all thy mountains a way. Mm-hmm. In the scriptures, a way is used what we would say road. Mm-hmm. The street out here would be a way.
Mm-hmm.
The highway was a place that was built up
mm-hmm.
above the obstacles. And it was a high road. It was a highway. And we use that term in our highways. But sometimes we think about it. But when he said it's not just a passage that we think without substance, he's talking about a road.
Right.
Scripture about the sower said that some of the seeds fell by the wayside
mm-hmm.
where it's traveled. It couldn't sprout and grow.
Right.
The sower just went forth randomly sowing, but some of them fell by the way. The way, the walk, the path, the travel, the road, by that stuff. Here's a prophecy. I'm going to make your mountains rugged, difficult. Nobody travels by going. You go around the mountains. You want to go through the valleys. You make trails, but nobody's on the mountains. Oh, there are some places where the tops of the mountains was used, especially up home. We find, if you was looking for old artifacts from the Native Americans, they use the ridges for the highways. But the Lord is saying here, I'm going to make your obstacles. I'm going to make the things that is biggest against you, the things that hinder you the most, I'm going to make them a way for you.
Yes.
This is, again, in all things, in everything, give thanks.
Yes.
For this is the will of God concerning you. We come up to things that look so big, so impassable.
Yes.
Impossible. It's too big for me. There's a mountain to have to go up. But the Lord said, I'm going to use that mountain to get you where you need to go. I'm going to take the mountains and I'm going to make a way on it. And you're going to be able to, everything that pops up in your life like that, you're going to be able to use it as a stepping stone for advancement in the Lord. Advancement in the Lord. I'm going to tell you, the Lord never did anything to His disciples in His pre-crucifixion life, to His disciples, that was to damage their experience.
No.
There was things that they had to go through that they had looked back at and say, the Lord told us. The Lord gave us. This was the will of God. This was an encouragement after that thing. It may have looked dark at the time. It may have been, look, what am I going to do with this? But the Lord was preparing them and making their mountains a way that they could go through these kind of things. Peter had a terrible failure to the Lord. You don't think that was enhancing to his ministry? I'm sure I use those kind of things in my ministry about my life all the time. It's what the Lord done for me. This was the will of God. I was in this place. This is how I responded. But God turned that around and made it something special. I can testify to my brethren now. When you've made a failure and you don't know what to do and your heart sunk down, let me tell you where I was at one time. I denied the very Lord we're serving. And He forgave me and said, when He comes into the kingdom, man, I can be raised up. The Holy Ghost made a difference. He can tell them. He's got a message for them. God is the God that's able to use everything in our life that we many times will look and say, it's ugly. I don't want nothing to do with this. I'm going to change it if I can. And the Lord was just simply telling us, in everything, give thanks. Accept that place in your life and be blessed by the Lord. God does not need you to help Him exalt you.
Right.
When you start exalting, helping the Lord exalt you, you're going the wrong way.
That's right.
So Joseph, it doesn't say that he said it this way, but he was faithful. Mm-hmm. Joseph was put in a position that he did not put himself in. He did not make himself the first son of his dad's favorite wife.
Right?
He didn't do it.
No.
He didn't choose it or have anything to do with it. God put him in that place. It gave him a position, unfortunately, it shouldn't maybe, but it put him in a position that his daddy's affection was a little stronger towards this younger son. He had nothing to do with it. What did he do to do that? Nothing. He didn't make himself be able to understand dreams, did he? I mean, that was a gift of God that put on him. He didn't choose it. He wasn't trying to make himself more important or better than anybody else. God put him in a situation that he was going to use down the line. And he actually exalted him as a young age in his dad's eyes, and he exalted him. His brothers didn't interpret dreams and see things like that and have this spirit with you. Oh, they didn't do that either. God put him in that place. But you think that's going to run always? You're going to be just king of everything. No. God's going to work something else in you too. He told Paul, who was a man of God, who had given himself over to God.
Yes.
And God said to him, lest you exalt yourself above measure. You're in a position, you're in danger, and I'm going to be God. And give you a better way. A thorn in the flesh. That's a better way. It's better than you exalting yourself above measure and getting yourself in spiritual trouble and letting the devil take advantage of you and not only hurt yourself but hurt the church and everybody else. No, I'm going to give you a thorn in the flesh. And now instead of you being like you're big and more important than everybody else, you're going to be down on your knees trying to get help for it.
Yes.
And you should thank God for it. Because in everything give thanks.
Amen.
This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is where I'm trying to bring you to. So Joseph had this special place, but then he got thrown into this well. He got thrown down in, and now he ain't so special. He wasn't so special to his brothers. Now he's feeling some of these feelings that us humans get where other people don't like you and how, and things happen and all these things. And now there's nobody to rescue him, and he's in this kind of a place, and God knows what he's doing. And this is the will of God concerning you. I was talking to some brothers the other night, and there was a scripture that would be a Jeremiah scripture, I think, where the Lord says, I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord. They're of good. They're of peace. I'm not doing evil here. I got a mind towards you to give you an expected end. But we don't a lot of times set the stage. You know what the stage for that is? The stage of that is that the Lord just told them, you all been meddling around in adultery, and I'm going to send you down into captivity for 70 years. That would be a blow. But the Lord said, I'm going to send you down there, but I know my thoughts towards you. They're not to destroy you. I can't let you go on your course and call it love of God. I've got to arrest you. I'm going to arrest you in all, in everything.
Yes.
Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So the life of Joseph, we know the life. It's such an inspiration to us because we have those places. We have places in our lives we don't know what to do. This young man who was faithful to the Lord, who seemed to have integrity and honor, and all of a sudden he didn't do any of the things that they blamed him for to be done. But here we go on a journey that he didn't choose for himself, but the will of God was in it. In all things, in everything, give thanks.
Yes.
It's the will of God concerning you. And he ends up in Potiphar's house. Mm-hmm. That was a little bit of an exaltation. He got put into a pretty good situation and all that. And lo and behold, he runs into this wayward woman. This one, I mean, who was going to believe him? I mean, he was without a lawyer. He was without representation. He was without belief. He was young. He was foreign. He had everything against him. There was no words he could speak to defend himself. Nothing to do but go to prison over it. And everything, give thanks. I got something, Joseph. This has been a plan in the heart of God for you, for your life. This is what is going to be meaningful. This is going to transcend the thousand. This is going to go through the millennia.
Right.
As an encouragement to God's people.
Yes.
Of somebody that stayed true. And God used them. And no matter what evil was planned against them, God brought them out at the end in the purpose that he had for them. You know, so many things in the Word of God that you and I don't even know what the end of the thing is. It just knows what the Lord is saying for us to do.
Yeah.
This is what we should do. This is what we should put into our lives. We ought to do this. We ought to love our enemies.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We ought to love our enemies. Hate is never good. Hate can't win anything. Or can't do anything. Jesus said that even the publicans love their own. You're not done anything special because you've done that. There's something more of God in this than that. God makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, and the rains on the just and the unjust, and we're just human, and when you're in the middle of it, and where the sinner looks and has a certain view about life, God puts us in the very same place. And we thank God. With joy? I should have said we do. I'm saying we should. This is what the Lord is saying to us, to where we actually believe in the middle of the trial when someone says, I've had it happen like that before. I had a flood at my house one time to where the creek bank started eroding. And it kept eroding and eroding, and the waters kept coming and it kept eroding. And I was at the time about 50 feet from the water's edge, and it kept moving and moving until I could look out. At the time, it was my dining room. I could look out the dining room window and look straight down, and the water had undercut, and it was right within 2 feet of the house, and undercut the bank, and right there's all this water running. It looks like it's going to undercut the whole house, and it looks like that. And we're standing out on the bridge and watching the water come down. My neighbor comes over there, and he looks at me and said, "What are you going to do?" Some things that I can handle, I'm tempted with. I have what am I going to do? There was no temptation here. Here's a roaring river coming down. I look at him and said, "I don't know, what would you do?" what are you going to do? But I got to testify. I said, I don't know, what would you do? I said, but if I know the Lord, I know and can testify to you how I got that house to start with, how the Lord did it, how the Lord gave it to me. And I told him, I said, if God chooses for his house to go down the Greenbrier River, it's his will. But if I know the Lord, he'll stop that water just short of that house. And then the state's going to come back in, because this bridge is here, they're going to come back in, and they're going to worry about the integrity of their bridge, and they're going to fix that back better than it ever was. You want to know what happened? It got right up to the foundation of the house, and then the water went down. And then the state inspectors come and looked and said, well, that's going to undercut our bridge. We need to fix that. And they come in and fix that whole thing back. It never cost me anything. And God fixed it back better than ever. He said, I'm going to make your mountains ways. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to make it possible for you in these kind of places. Joseph, could Joseph ever on his own become second to Pharaoh? You think he could have got an army together and actually overthrow? I mean, maybe, I don't know, but you think, how's he going to get in that kind of a position? And he didn't, he was just there, and God actually brought him from prison as a convicted pervert,
right,
and brought him second to, now that's God with a plan.
Amen.
That's God with a plan.
Yeah.
And so if a neighbor sneers at you, or if a neighbor does those kind of things, in everything give thanks.
Yeah.
There's a plan in that. Do you know, in my lifetime, I can say this, that almost without exception, everyone that I had a problem with in life that I committed to the Lord and really got serious with the Lord, I won every one of them to friendship.
Amen.
It took a while. It took some time. But the people in my life that had those kind of places against me, God helped me to win them through faithfulness and loving them and doing right. God helped me to get to that kind of place. I appreciate the Lord for it. In everything, give thanks. Sometimes the first contact might not be a good one, but God's got a purpose,
yeah,
in those kind of things,
yeah,
for us to take it and accept it as the will of God.
Yeah.
Not everything in life, well, I'll say this, God can take anything,
right,
and make it gold for us.
Yeah.
He can turn any, yeah, situation around,
right,
until we can have a testimony. This is what the Lord done in this situation.
Amen.
And there is a passage of scripture that I'm talking about that talks about when the Lord comes back, that He's going to bring the host of saints with Him. I want you to think about the generations of saints. Think about everyone that ever lived for the Lord. I mean, all of these people through the generations. And the idea is that He's going to bring them to judgment. All right, He's going to bring him to judgment. Then when I get up there and say, oh, Lord, I'd have done better, but Dee Linda, she was a case. He's going to have somebody that's going to stand up in the crowd. He's going to say, Sister so-and-so, stand and give you testimony. And there's going to be some little old woman that was beat and run down and lived in poverty and done everything and kept the love of God in her heart and done it right. And she's going to stand up and say, this is my testimony. And you're going to have, uh-oh. He's going to bring the testimonies with him of those that had victory and was able to say, thank you, God, for what you put into my life. All of this made me something. There was people that so had a desire over in 12 of Hebrews, that so had a desire to please the Lord, that they said, was said of them, they would not accept deliverance. Many of them didn't even accept. Many of them was thrown to the line, and they were sawn asunder, and they was all of this. And some had deliverance, and there were some that would not accept the deliverance brought, that they might have a greater testimony, that they might be able to say, God kept me all the way right through this. And I gave it all to the Lord. I gave it all to Him. Of all of the things that we would face, there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're going to come. They're going to come in the middle of the time. And where you're going to stand before the Lord and say, it was just too much for me to offer prayer at that restaurant. You're going to have these three men stand up and said, I stood before the whole kingdom and Nebuchadnezzar, the great power of the earth, and I stood there and told him, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We will not bow to that.
Right.
We will serve the living God, and to Him only we will bow.
Amen.
And we're going to have a testimony. You know what the Lord wants out of us? He wants faithful people. He wants us to be strong Christians for our day. He wants us to make it strong. You're not going to get strong by yourself. You're going to have to take, you're going to take these mountains, and you're going to get to the bottom of them. No, they was years ago when I worked at surveying. Boss set me up one day, late in the day, to go. There was a station on the top of the mountain back there, And my job was to carry 2 or 3 inch rebars, 36 inches long, big sledgehammer. And my job was to walk to the top of that mountain and set them corners up there where we had established these corners. And that was my job for the day. So I remember getting to the bottom of that, looking up there at that hill. I was younger back then. Put them up on my shoulder, and up the mountain I went. And I got up there a ways, and I was trying to get the job done. And I walked, and I hadn't stopped in a little bit. I thought, I'm going to go right up to that big oak tree, and I'm going to rest against that oak tree right there. And I got up there, and just as plain as it could be, there was a voice spoke to me. I'm not out in my ears, but in my being, that said, don't stop. You keep going.
Yes.
And I just obeyed and said, yeah. And I walked more and got up in them old rebars, was a digging down in my shoulders, and it got to hurting. My legs got to burning and aching. And I thought, when I get right there, I'm going to stop. And I got up there, don't stop.
Yes.
Keep going. And I started to keep going, and it got hurting more and more, and I got right there at the top I can make it. And I got up there, and it was a false summit. It was like this, and then way up there is still the top. And I got to stop. Don't stop.
Yeah.
Don't stop. And it kept telling, don't stop. And I got up, I went, and it got pretty hard after a while. It was cutting more, and the hurt and the pain was more. Started laboring in my breathing, got more. Don't stop. Keep going. And I got all the way to the top, and I got up there, and I was amazed. I made it.
Yeah.
I made it. Once I made it, I didn't stop. I made it. And that voice said to me, you can make it if you want to with all your heart.
Yeah.
You can make it through there. You can go on. I'll make that mountain something special to you. I'm gonna give you a testimony there. That mountain, I know where it was at. It's just a mountain in West Virginia, but that mountain means something to me because the Lord told me you can make it if you keep going.
Right.
Don't stop. Don't stop in it. Yeah, you're going to have some pain. You're going to have some suffering. There are going to be some things happen. But the Word of God has given us this, an instruction book. What is it? Take this thing to heart.
Amen.
What the Lord told us to do. Do it. Do it.
Yeah.
I don't understand everything. Not claiming to. I'm not very smart. I don't understand everything. That's not what it's about. What it's about is having the heart to do what you understand.
Right.
There's times I say, Lord, I don't know altogether about that. I don't have a clear picture in my mind about this. I don't know everything there is. I just know the one that knows everything. I know the one that can lead and help me in this thing and give me the victory over it.
Amen.
I do know some things, though. I know what the Lord was like. You know, the Bible wasted almost no effort at all on some of the things that we waste effort on. For instance, we're very much on what we look like.
Right.
What did Jesus look like? There's a little indication. Isaiah mentioned something about maybe not comely. I mean, there's a prophecy. I think there was a scripture even said to pluck the hair from his face. I mean, there must have been something there. I mean, I don't know. It's very little definition. That's not the way you and I do it. You say, you know about Jesus, who was he? Oh, he's the tall guy over there. I mean, we always give definition. We have to have something to relate to. God didn't want us to even relate to him in the flesh. Because if he is 6'2", everybody'd have to be. I mean, well, I'm 6'2", you're only 5 foot. I got more spiritual than you do. Jesus was 6'2". He didn't want us to focus ourselves on Jesus as a flesh and that. He gave definition of the spirit. He wasted no time on it. We get all fired up about the nations of the worlds and the governments. How much actual time did Jesus really spend on trying to get the government to do anything? None. None. He even defended them and said, but with the taxes, he said, about what should give a tax? Render unto Caesar what's Caesar's. But do the thing and do that. What, you want to have some big deal to change? No, he was going to deal with individuals in their hearts. That's what Jesus wants to do. I'm not saying there's wrong things about getting involved in some things and making them better. Of course, Christian influence is a good thing. I'm just saying some things ain't worth it. And God wants us, I really believe, to be simplistic in the idea of the Word of God being valuable. And something that if I place it in my life as a functioning part of my life, I do this. And I do what I do because this is what the Word of God says. It's not my word.
Right.
I stand on this position because this is what God has said for my life.
Yes.
And it is so valuable and worth so much. And there's scriptures like, you know, pray without ceasing. It's in there. Pray without ceasing. I don't think that meant that you don't sleep. Jesus slept in the bombs. That's not what it's saying. Don't go. It's not a radical idea. Don't stop praying. It's a valuable tool. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing that God hears your prayers. Don't stop having faith in God for the evidence. God is real, and we should act like He is. If He is real, we would perform things and do things that we wouldn't do if He wasn't. If God is working and dealing in our lives, it'll make a difference in the things that we do, the things that we say, the positions we hold. If it's true that people are dying and going to hell, then we would respond differently if they wouldn't. And if it's true there's a heaven to gain, and that we all are vapors, and we're all, and this earth's all going to burn up, then we'll act different than that. Somebody made a point, not in getting into the agendas of the world, but somebody made a point recently about how much the world actually believed that there was a climate change that was going to destroy humanity. And some of the predictions that was made, and they looked into the actual investment things that was going on, and there's this great investments now in the low-lying coastal areas to build all these properties right where the floods, where the water is going to be knee-deep. And they said, they don't really believe that. That's right. They don't really believe that. But you know, there are sometimes as Christians, we can go through, and it could be said of us, you don't really believe that. Because if you really believe that, you would be doing things differently than you are.
Amen.
You would. You would do it differently if you really believe that.
Yeah.
I knew a guy, he was a preacher, and this was pre-2000, because 2000 was kind of the mark there for Y2K.
Right.
It was kind of a mark there. And this preacher went around preaching quite strongly at what time the Great Tribulation and all, I mean, you know, all this stuff was going to happen. And he had it nailed down. And at the same time, he was selling people, he was an insurance seller, and he was selling people these long-term life insurance policies. So it's like, these life insurance policies, he was telling these, they went 20 years beyond the Lord coming back. Why didn't he just tell the people he's witnessing to, you only need 10 years? I mean, no, it's cost. How much does you really believe it? We say these things, but our actions will come up short of the very belief that we have. The world needs a clearer picture of what Christianity is. I have to acknowledge to some friends of mine that says that Christianity is not impressive. And I say, that's right. That's right, it's not very impressive. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus is impressive.
Yeah,
true Christianity, true religion, and the Lord's impressive.
That's right.
People that give their whole life to it, that's impressive. But no, our religion's not impressive. Just nominal Christianity is not impressive. But God's impressive.
Yes.
It's impressive. Lord, help us today. I hope the Lord spreads this burden in your heart that I really feel about the value that we take. I took one scripture there, but there's so many scriptures that you could take and really question in your own heart and life.
Yeah.
Have I applied that, Lord?
Right.
Do I really use this scripture as a value in my life?
Right.
In everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything?
Mm-hmm.
In everything. The situation, everything.
Yes.
Give thanks.
Amen.
Because you're not in this alone.
Right.
Jesus is working in your life, and this thing is tailor-made for you.
Right.
This is your this is your stepping stone. This is your mountain.
Yes.
This is a place that you own this one. This can be, it can be the answer of the prayer you're praying, and you just don't realize it. You pray for me, I want to be faithful.
Amen.